Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of New School Critics. My name is Chris Lambert, and today we are talking the anime Hunter x Hunter. And this one is going to be a little bit complicated for me to get into because I have conflicting emotions about this show. It's one that I wasn't very aware of for a long time. Like, I got into anime back in, well, I think most people my age got into anime when Dragon Ball Z first started airing on Toonami. And I do remember Escaflowne. That might have been the first anime I ever saw on Saturday morning when it just had a brief 8-episode run on Fox. But Dragon Ball Z was a show that I really fell in love with at an early age. But I got out of anime during high school and college. Dragon Ball Z was taking too long to get translated at that time. There are only so many times you can watch the Saiyan Saga and Frieza Saga waiting for new episodes. It was grueling. But in the years after college, I came back, finished Dragon Ball Z, ended up watching Bleach, Cowboy Bebop, Gurren Lagann, Gundam Wing, how many others? Attack on Titan. And all that time, I missed Hunter x Hunter as a show. It wasn't until Shonen Jump came out, a game for PlayStation 4 and Xbox, and I think 2016, 2017, that I first became aware of the main character, Gon Freecss. And that's just because I played Shonen Jump just to try the Dragon Ball Z characters. It had great graphics. But I remember seeing Gon and being like, this design's really simple, but there's something really determined about this kid and something, I don't know, fascinating about the character design. And I started seeing on Twitter a lot of people with Gon and the other main character, Killua, profile pictures. And for the last year or two, I just saw more people referencing Hunter or having those profile pictures. So when I was looking for something new to watch, I asked on Twitter and people, just a number of them, said Hunter x Hunter. And I asked if it was any good. And at the time, I thought it was called Hunter x Hunter. But I asked if it was any good, and so many people were calling it the GOAT anime, and that the Chimera Ant arc's one of the best arcs ever in anime. And I was a little hesitant, as Hunter x Hunter is one of those epics, as I like to call them. It's 100-plus episodes, and it's not even finished. There hasn't been a new season since 2014, but the show story isn't finished yet, so there's more that could be made. But Bleach is hundreds of episodes, Dragon Ball Z's hundreds of episodes, One Piece is over 1,000 episodes. You have a number of anime that are these epics that are just ongoing and really huge and meaningful in that way, but also because there's so much going on, there ends up being a lot more that you can maybe end up criticizing as compared to something like Cowboy Bebop or Gurren Lagann that ends up being 26 episodes only. And a lot of anime do end up just at that 26-episode mark. Neon Genesis Evangelion, for example, as well. And then you have shows like Attack on Titan and ReZero that end up in that healthy middle ground of more than 26, but under 100. So when I finally turned to watching Hunter x Hunter, I gotta say, I was in love with the first arc. The Hunter Exam arc has that traditional 26-episode vibe to it. Not even vibe, it is 26 episodes. But because of that, it felt very complete, and it's straightforward in the fact that Gon is this kid that wants to be a hunter, and in this world, becoming a hunter is this very prestigious and elite thing that not many people get to do. Only a handful a year pass the test. So the fact that that's kind of the beginning, middle, and end of the arc is just the introduction to the exam, taking the exam, and then the whether he passes or doesn't pass, it gives it a nice, clean concept of what you're getting yourself into. And I really loved the characters and the core group of four that you meet with Gon, Killua, Leorio, and Kurapika, as well as Hisoka as a villain. Hisoka felt so deadly and so much more intense and beyond any of the other characters. It established a bar where you're like, how can Gon reach this point where he's as powerful or as can compete with Hisoka in a fight, which I also thought was a very exciting premise. So at the end of the first arc, I'm pumped because I know that the world's about to open up, that we started in this niche and it kept us kind of contained introduced us to a lot of the rules of this world and the characters, but that it was about to get much larger. And this isn't anything new in anime, right? You think about Bleach, and it kind of starts in the real world before you're introduced to the spirit world, right? And the first arc ends up being pretty small compared to what follows, just because it's introducing you to all the things that you need to know. And I gotta say, once the show opened up, I started losing interest, because I think we started seeing kind of the pitfalls of the writing that the creator of the show, Yoshihiro Togashi, just, I mean, obviously he did a lot of things right because the show is as beloved as it is. But for me and my, pretensions when it comes to what I'm looking for, there started being a lot more issues that I was having with the storytelling. And most of that comes back to exposition and consequences. So the second arc of the show is the Heaven's Arena arc. And I was really pumped because I liked the Gon and Killua dynamic, and realizing that they were going to be the main two characters moving forward, I thought was great, because I'm used to the frenemies dynamic, right? That Goku and Vegeta established, and that I feel like so many animes kind of follow with, that it's a complicated, challenging relationship between character 1A and 1B. But Gon and Killua are just like happily friends. And I love that. I love that there wasn't the drama between them so much as what they were taking on. And entering Heaven's Arena, I'm pumped for all these fights and really seeing the show start to open up, because I knew Gon was going to get more powers just from Shonen Jump, right? Playing that game and seeing some of the powers that he had. And I know you have shows like Bleach, like Dragon Ball Z, where the first arc tends to be more restrained, but then as you open up, you introduce all these more powers, these new rules, and Heaven's Arena seemed perfect for that. But the exposition that was involved with explaining Nen and all the facets of Nen, it's taking up like multiple episodes. When you're watching fights and characters are using Nen, instead of just seeing the fight play out, you're having them break down like, oh, this is what the character just did. This was this Nen ability. Let me use this Nen ability. Oh, did you see what the Nen ability was? You don't just have the characters who are fighting commenting on it. You have some other character that's always reviewing the fight and explaining the fight. And there's so much of that dialogue that's just telling us what's happening that it started to become a bit painful to me. And that continues for a majority of the show. It never really stops. And like the Chimera Ant arc, which is the one that people love so much, there's a character, Knuckle. And when they introduce Knuckle and his Nen ability, it takes like 9 minutes. I'm pretty sure it's like 7 to 9 minutes of Knuckle explaining what his Nen ability is. And it's just, he taxes energy. And it's compound interest, and every few seconds the interest increases. And at one point, like, your energy will bankrupt you, and then you'll not be able to fight anymore. Okay, inventive idea, right? But does it really need 9 minutes of explanation? And this gets into the consequence part as well, and the fact that Knuckle's power never really matters. Like, when you get to Chimera Ant arc, you have Miriam, who's the king. He's head of the Chimera Ants, and he has his three guards, Yupi, Poof, and Pitu. And you have Knuckle and Shoot and one other character who are fighting Yupi. And it is one-sided, and you're like, oh, this is going to be an ability that matters. But it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It distracts Yupi for a little bit, which allows the characters to survive longer. But ultimately, that doesn't matter all that much. You could have found any other number of ways to distract the character, or to have them have a conversation with the character that kind of stops the fighting. It didn't need to be this huge, elaborate Nen ability that ends up not really doing anything meaningful in the entire show, but has like minutes worth, or like over 30 minutes worth of dialogue around it without any real consequential action about it. It's things like that that ended up being pretty frustrating to me with just how much they spend explaining things and often how little those things ended up mattering at the end of the day. And then with consequences, what I mean by that is looking at the Phantom Troop arc, for example, right? The Phantom Troop arc was supposed to be this big deal because Kurapika, who's one of the main characters in the Hunter Exam, but not present in Heaven's Arena, his race of people have these beautiful glowing eyes. And the Phantom Troop, who's a group of thieves, mercenaries, arrive at Kurapika's village or city and murder his race, his tribe, and take all the eyes. Kurapika's the only survivor. And that's really sad and tragic and creates a huge sense of wanting to get revenge, right? And Hunter Exam and Heaven's Arena ended up being pretty innocent in nature, but there are hints of things getting more serious, darker, graver, and the Phantom Troop arc seemed like the perfect time for them to really go to the next level. And in some ways they do. Like, Kurapika does have the first real fight of the show that's serious, deadly. He wins and kills this Phantom Troop member, but throughout the fight he is explaining every thought, every action, every detail of his Nen ability, and his Nen ability is so detailed. Like, on the one hand, I can see why people get bored of, say, Dragon Ball Z, where it's just transformation and energy blast. And, like, everybody kind of has a unique energy blast, but at the end of the day, they're all still energy blast. And it's just Super Saiyan, Super Saiyan 2 over and over again, right? But there's something really nice about the simplicity of that, where the powers in this show end up being so convoluted and bizarre and almost carnival-esque at times that also got kind of annoying to me, because they become so over the top and take so much explanation, like creating other worlds, controlling like water, like, I don't, and Kurapika, like, he has different necklaces and different powers on each finger and he explains each one. Kind of cool, but also at the same time, like, why? And in this fight, I know it's an anime trope in general to have characters kind of explain their powers and posture to one another. That's just par for the course for the genre. But I do think you have shows like Cowboy Bebop and Gurren Lagann that end up managing to do that in a way that keeps the flow of the action going really well and feeling very fitting to some of the characters. Where here, it's just done for the sake of providing the information. It's like necessary exposition because the writer doesn't want us to feel like we've fallen behind or don't know what's going on. And that kind of hand-holding bothers me because it feels like he's not trusting the audience ever to pick up on what's going on. And that fight with Kurapika is broken by the amount of exposition for me personally, and really disappointing. But I thought that this was going to be the tipping point, but that's the only real character that Kurapika fights, and that's the only real fight in the entire show. Despite the Phantom Troop being there, despite them having this showdown, nothing really happens. After Kurapika kills that character, the Phantom Troop goes on a spree, but really they're only attacking and killing random guards. And it's supposed to make them seem dangerous, but you never have the characters encounter any of the rest of them. It really only builds the Phantom Troop as anti-heroes that you may kind of care about, which is a weird redemption for a group that murdered Kurapika's village. And they try to say that there's a lot of new members, so it's not really the same people, and the guy that Kurapika killed was one of the original members that was there, and that kind of does it for him, like that satisfies him. But that's also a weird twist. I just didn't really like the redemption of the Phantom Troop and the fact that they made this big deal out of him only for it to really just be not that big of a deal. And you have this fight, right? The head of Phantom Troop ends up fighting Killua, who comes from a family of assassins, Killua's dad and grandfather. And you're like, oh, you know, who's going to die? Because this could be meaningful too, because either Killua's dad and grandfather kill this guy and how will Kurapika react to that when Kurapika wants to kill him? or this guy kills Killua's dad or grandfather or both, and how is Killua going to respond to that? Like, there's tension there. But instead, they just fight, and nobody hurts anybody, because right when it's starting to get serious, the people that had hired Killua's dad and grandfather die. So then the dad and grandfather are like, well, there's no reason for us to continue fighting. We're off. I'm just like, that's it? That's all that we get from this. And there are anticlimactic moments like that throughout the show, I felt like. In the Phantom Troop arc, the Greed Island arc, even the Chimera Ant arc. And there is a bit of a reason for that. Like, the show is definitely looking at Gon's continuing maturation. And each arc does get more serious than the last. So while there is a death or a kill, or Kurapika gets a kill in the Phantom Troop arc, Gon and Killua are still kind of on the outside of it. And there's a bit more that they have to face in Greed Island. The stakes are a little bit more serious. But it's not until the Chimera Ant arc where they really have to come face to face with being killers, right? And facing death, and really a lot of the adventuring and the fun goes out of the show as a darker, more serious element enters the picture, which is why I think a lot of people really like the Chimera Ant arc and hold it up in the way that they do. But at the same time, it also limits then a lot of the stakes and interest I have, and I think are present in the Heaven's Arena, Phantom Troop, and Greed Island arc. Those end up almost being throat clearing and just fun romps rather than anything that feels as meaningful in the grand scheme of things. And there are plot aspects that are necessary, like, oh, the Phantom Troop arc is how they get into Greed Island. So it was necessary, right? I guess. And the Greed Island arc is how they meet kites and find out about the Chimera Ant arc, or ants that are going around. So that's meaningful, right? Kind of. Like, there are other ways to go about it that I think would have been better, right? Like, one Greed Island area is just a dodgeball game that takes like 3 episodes and has so much exposition. And while Gon does grow from it, it's also like, did you need to spend 3 episodes? I just lost interest a lot. And the Chimera Ant arc, I guess we'll close with that, is one that I really wanted to love. And I was really excited about the setup, especially when this idea, much like the Hunter exam, where you have this built-in stuff where you just know they're going to either pass the exam or fail the exam. With this, they set up the Birth of the King as the first arc. So they're trying to stop the king from being born. Will they or won't they? Which gives a nice kind of binary tension to the first part of this arc. And they end up failing, right? The king ends up getting born, and the king's first guard, Pitu, ends up killing kites, which is dramatic, and it's really the first meaningful death in the show, and is one of those things where it's like, yeah, the tone is changing. Gon and Killua are going to have to come face to face with the fact that life isn't as fun as they thought it was. Like, this can get far more serious, which is really cool, but all the momentum kind of leaves in the immediate aftermath, as you then have this big build-up to the final showdown with Miriam, and you have Gon and Killua spending like 30 episodes, like something ridiculous, like just kind of training to be able to fight Pitu and then the other guards, Yupi and Poof, hoping to be able to fight the king, Miriam. And it just kind of goes on for a long, long, long time without anything meaningful happening. The most important thing in this is that Miriam goes from this killer that wants to dominate everything to playing this board game and coming to have a relationship with the girl that he's playing the game with and starting to have more of a understanding of humanity and giving him the space to have that character growth and character arc was really nice. Because I think the Miriam's arc is really my favorite thing in this show, and how they made him kind of this Romeo and Juliet figure, or an Othello figure almost, I really loved. and was crying at the end. So I was still like very emotional and enjoying parts of it. But there was just so much in the second act of the Chimera Ant saga that is a lot of just drawn out, semi-useless fighting that doesn't end up having that much in the way of consequence. Like, I think you could have cut it down by 20 episodes and been okay. Like, it didn't have to be as drawn out as it was. And so I ended up being overall pretty disappointed with the arc just because of how much exposition they ended up forcing in. They at least shifted the exposition from the characters saying it to each other to a narrator coming in and saying a lot of it, which was better because then it allowed the action scenes to have a little bit more natural fluidity to them. But also the narrator like often is exaggerating and making a big deal about things that end up not being a big deal. And the fact that the thing that ends up killing all of the bad guys is a bomb that poisons them, and that's it. So on the one hand, it's like, oh, the heroes distracted them long enough for the bomb like effects to matter, and because the heroes fought them, they saved all these people that would have been caught in the explosion, so that's good, I guess. But at the same time, if they had this bomb that would have poisoned them all and killed the bad guys no matter what, why not just do that from the get-go? And what was the point of the characters like leveling up and getting stronger? It just felt, again, like all of the tension got undercut by a decision that I don't necessarily agree with, right? It would be one thing if just the main, like just Miriam ended up getting hit with the bomb and that was the thing and the characters had something to do with that, but it's just all of them. Like, they don't end up defeating any of the guards. The guards get poisoned and die. The only one that does is Gon with his transformation. And that part is also really awesome because we know that Gon has all this power. We know that he's been keeping this positive disposition. But in fighting Pitu after she killed Kite and he finds out Kite's dead, his transformation and the next evolution of his Nen ability, making him from a kid into this like 20-year-old, right? That's like Hulk level. It really goes in line with this arc being about Gon losing his innocence and growing up, putting that in quotes, because he's still the same age, but because he loses his innocence, he's years ahead in terms of experience. So that form is really cool. It's thematically meaningful, and it has this goosebump aspect to when it comes out that I loved, but it just took so long to get there with so much that I thought was poorly plotted leading up to it that I just get frustrated thinking back on it. Like, it all ended up feeling worthwhile near the end, but at the same time also frustrating in the fact that I think it could have been better, like, and it should have been better, which is a disappointing stance to kind of have on it. And then the fact that they say that Gon's transformation completely fried his body and he may never be the same, and you have this election arc that follows the Chimera Ant arc, and it's just Killua has this deus ex machina and another sibling that can completely reverse the destruction, and Gon's back to normal. And it's like, on the one hand, yeah, I don't want Gon crippled forever by this, right? I want Gon to be able to go and have more adventures. And I can hear people being like, what about Senzu beans in Dragon Ball Z? Is that not cheap? And it is cheap, right? But I think it, once you make it part of the universe, it's more logical than just the initial like, oh, hey, we just have this kid that can heal everything. All right, you're healed. And then that's it. It felt a little forced rather than something that's introduced early on and the characters could just go and like, well, we have the Dragon Balls. Let's use them. This is part of the world. And I guess it is part of the world. It's just, again, the timing of it felt a little like, oh, I wrote myself into a corner. How do I get out of it? But I do like in the election arc that Gunn ends up getting to meet his dad, which is the whole point of the show, right? And where the title comes from. His dad's a hunter, but is mysteriously vanished. So Gunn is a hunter who's hunting a hunter. Where other hunters will hunt other things, this is what he's doing. So the fact that you finally get the payoff of him getting to spend time with his dad and talk with his dad, and that Killua gets to have this connection with a sibling, and that it seems like Gon is going to go off on a new adventure and Killua is going to go off on a new adventure, it feels very much like an appropriate place for this show to end. But we also have the teaser of this whole other world to be explored that really feels like a, oh my God, like what else is out there, that really leaves you wanting more and hoping for more. So despite like all the complaints that I have about the show and how the show was written, I do think that there's a lot of beauty, there's a lot of greatness, and it ends in a place where I still want more. And I hope that we get that. The creator said that we will, but I also hope that the creator, having had 6 years of time, will refine some of the writing choices and approach that he had to the Chimera Ant arc. So we'll see how that goes. But I guess that does it for this. Thank you for listening. And if you have any questions or thoughts on Hunter x Hunter that you want to share, you can find me on Twitter at Kanye Podcast for the most part. And you can also email newschoolchris@gmail.com. And yeah, until next time, this has been, I don't have a good sign off. Just until next time. Cheers.